Good evening. I call to order this March 25th, 2025, meeting of the Blair Mayor and City Council. I am Mindy Rump, the Mayor of Blair, and I am pleased that you have joined us this evening. This is a public meeting and you are part of the process. I encourage you to participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. I want you to feel as comfortable as possible, and I will do everything that I can to make sure that your voice is heard. There are several rules to proceed with this meeting, and I ask that you please keep them in mind. Please turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand, and I will acknowledge you, and you can come forward to the podium. Brenda Wheeler, our city clerk, must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have the opportunity to speak. And please direct your remarks to either myself, city council, or to city staff. A copy of the Open Meetings Act has been posted by both exits, and we will begin this evening with the roll call of members.
Jacob?
Here.
Halford?
Here.
Long?
Here.
Wolf?
Here.
Willis? Clark?
Here.
Letcher?
Here.
Hypo?
Here.
All members present except Willis.
Thank you. If you please stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number four, approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number five. Consider Ordinance 2568 to amend Chapter 2, Article 8, Section 2-801 and 2-802 of the Blair Municipal Code, as recommended by the Blair Park Recreation and Cemetery Advisory Board. Ms. Ferrari.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. So before you tonight, we have the Parks, Recreation, and Cemetery Advisory Board. Previously, they were just the Parks Board. They were in charge of city parks and had quite a list of duties that really didn't reflect what they were doing. So after reviewing state statute and what we are allowed to do, we came up with the option to have two boards combined into one. We have not had a cemetery board for many years. By state statute, we are allowed to have one, and they can have three or up to six members. Thankfully, our parks board has six members, so they fall into that category, and we can continue to utilize them. Their jobs allowed them to do many things, one of which was they had to review the list of every single tree that was in the right-of-way before it was cut down or removed. They were not doing this, possibly not aware they were supposed to be doing this. City staff was not having them review this list, and so after careful review with the Parks Board, we come through with a new set of tasks and duties for them to offer advice to the City Council before anything occurs. Specifically, we want them to have charge of all recreation activities supported financially by the city, so they would be able to make advisory opinions to you regarding costs for rentals for our depot, our park shelters, and also anything for pickleball and the New Generations Park. They would be able to offer advisory information regarding Washington Street from 19th to 13th, as they do have many gardens in that area. And then for the cemetery area, we're looking to them to help us develop new rules and regulations so that we can move forward with the Great Cemetery. Any questions moving forward? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have comments from the public? Having none, Judiciary Committee.
Your turn. Sure. We met on this. I mean, it made sense. We didn't really have any questions. They're merging two boards, so. If there's no questions, I'll introduce Ordinance 2568.
An ordinance to amend Blair City Municipal Code, Chapter 2, Article 8, amending Sections 2-801 and 2-802, establishing a Parks, Recreation, and Cemetery Board and their duties, repealing ordinances of parts of ordinance and copy therewith, providing limitations to the full force and effect of publishing pamphlet form.
I move the statutory rule regarding reading on three different days be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
Second. Question.
The question before the council is, shall a statutory rule requiring reading on three different days be suspended? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye. And ordinance to amend the Blair City Municipal Code, Chapter 2, Article 8, amending Sections 2-801 and 2-802, establishing a Parks, Recreation, and Cemetery Board and their duties, repealing all ordinance and parts of ordinance conflict herewith, providing when this one should be full force in effect, and publishing in pamphlet form.
I move final passage for Ordinance 2568.
Second. Question?
The question now before the council is, shall Ordinance Number 2568 be passed and adopted? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare Ordinance Number 2568 duly adopted. Congratulations to the new Park, Recreation, and Cemetery Advisory Board. Item number six, consider Ordinance 2569 to amend Chapter 9, Article 3, Section 9-301 of the Blair Municipal Code to adopt all appendices of the International Residential Code except Appendix L and Appendix T. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening. Phil Green, City Administrator. So what you have before you tonight is another ordinance that would be modifying our current municipal code. So just kind of walk you through the process. We have our municipal code, and in the municipal code, we have adopted certain building codes that exist out there. We, like most communities, adopt part of the codes from the International Code Council, the ICC, and the big standard codes are the IBC, the International Business Code, and then the IRC, the International Residential Code. Then there's a whole plethora of other codes that are out there, and most of those that we have adopted as well. With each of those codes, there are various appendices that are on the back end of those codes that are kind of looked at as being optional. It really is up to the municipality whether you want to adopt them or not. The current municipal code on the IBC side, and again, the IBC covers all commercial buildings, industrial buildings, and residential structures that are multifamily and more than or not a townhouse kind of construction, so apartment buildings, things like that. That's the IBC. Currently in the municipal code, we state that we've adopted the 2018 IBC and all appendices on the IBC side. But when you look at the residential code side, the IRC, right now our municipal code clearly says that none of the appendices have been adopted. And that was the decision that was made back when the 2018 code was adopted several years ago. Bring us up to kind of current times. We've obviously had a lot of discussion in the recent months and last couple of years regarding residential structures, residential alternatives. One of the appendices in the IRC is an appendix that deals with tiny houses. And these really truly are tiny houses. It's any residential structure that's 400 square feet or smaller. So it's a tiny house. Obviously when they're that size, there are certain provisions and requirements that are in the regular residential code that just don't make sense on the with that size of a structure. And so they have an appendix there that you can adopt. In talking with our staff, we were going to recommend to you that we change the code to simply adopt that appendix Q, but we took some time earlier, sat down with our the rest of our code individuals, and especially Ethan Rowe, our inspector and plan reviewer, and kind of talked with him and looked at each of the appendices that are in the IRC and said, well, is there any reason why we wouldn't want to adopt, you know, all of these? So we went through them piece by piece. There's a list of all of those that's in Spark if you want to take the time to look at each individual one. And ultimately, we only ended up with two that we're not recommending to you. Appendix Q, which again is the tiny house one, is part of this list then that would be incorporated. So instead of just doing one, Q, we're now doing all except for two, and the two are L and T. Appendix L deals with setting fees for the various construction that goes on. We have our own fee structure. There's no reason to do the nationally adopted one. And then Appendix T deals with the requirements, if you were to adopt it, that every new residential house would have to be constructed what they call solar panel ready, which is some reinforcement that would be in the roofing area to allow solar panels to be installed on there. You may not be aware, but California right now requires every single new residential house to have solar panels installed on it, no matter where they live. And so that's obviously not something that we're recommending here in Blair right now. If someone came to us and simply said, hey, I want to build my new house solar panel ready, that's great. We've got an appendix that we can refer to, but it's not required if you don't adopt it tonight. But Q, which was the main one that we were after, is part of the list then and would be adopted by you if you chose to make this modification to the municipal code again, which is adopting these building codes. So, any questions?
Thank you. Any comments from the public? Having none?
So we met on this. It makes sense that we should adopt these other appendices and kind of get our codes up to, you know, the standards we need to be at. So we agree to that. If you have any questions, I move we introduce, introduce ordinance 2569.
An ordinance to amend the Blair Municipal Code, Chapter 9, Article 3, by amending Section 9-301, adopting all appendices of the International Residential Code except Appendix L and Appendix T. The Appealing Not Orange Park and Orange Complex herewith, providing this ordinance will be in full force and effectiveness and publishing in pamphlet form.
I move the statutory rule regarding reading on three different days be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
Second.
Question.
The question before the council is, shall the statutory rule requiring reading on three different days be suspended? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye. An ordinance to amend the Blair City Municipal Code, Chapter 9, Article 3, by amending Section 9301, adopting all appendices of the International Residential Code, except Appendix L and Appendix T, repealing all Orange Park and Orange Complex herewith, providing the ordinance shall be full force and effect and published in pamphlet form.
I move final passage of ordinance number 2569.
Second.
Question.
The question before the council is, shall ordinance number 2569 be passed and adopted? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2569 duly adopted. Item number 7, consider resolution number 2025-29 to accept a mowing bid for the 2025 through 2027 mowing seasons. And before Mr. Heaton speaks, could I have a council member place and receive the bid on file, please?
I'd like to place and receive the bid on file.
Second. You will have to use the
board.
All right.
Wow.
The switch is, you have to just get your finger in there.
Okay. I promise it won't electrocute you.
I had to switch it.
Okay. You just have to go up or down. Yes or no? This is the first time you've voted on board.
Oh, yay! Congratulations, Ken!
All members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Mr. Heaton.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Mayor and Council. As the Mayor said before you, this is our mowing contract for the next 3 years. So staff solicited 8 different mowing contractors for bids, and we received one back. And that's what's before you tonight. It's another contract proposal with Superior Green, who's been our mowing contractor since 2014. So in your packets tonight are his updated prices. To my knowledge, this is the first time this contract has updated or changed his prices since 2014. So this next session or next round of mowing, his bid for the right-of-way mowing is $34 an acre, and then the price for the turf mowing is $33 an acre. And that has gone up. The right-of-way mowing went up $3, and the turf mowing went up, I think, $6. Yeah, from 27 to 33. Like I said, I believe that we've been at least 10 years with the same prices, so we've been pretty, you know, fortunate to not see an increase before then. You also notice that the total has increased with those increased prices, but we've also added some areas since the last contract. And then I've also included 2 extra mowings just to pad that in case this weather, the season is wetter than normal and we end up mowing more often. So the total estimated for the whole season is $164,652.06. That's if we did the full mowing. If we end up having a dry year, we'll cut back some of those mowings, or we'll try to space those out further so we're not mowing every week if we don't need to. Any questions or anything you'd like me to clarify or touch base on?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, CJ.
Any comments from the public? Having none, Finance Committee.
The Finance Committee did meet. We did review everything. They were the only bid, and he has raised his prices, but we don't feel like it's warranted. So if nobody has any questions, I would like to introduce resolution number 2025-19.
For 29.
29.
Resolution number 2025-29 was introduced by Councilmember Hafer to accept a mowing bid for the 2025-2027 mowing seasons.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 2025-29 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion. Nope.
No question on this one?
No question on this one.
Good.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2025-29. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 8. Consider resolution 2025-30 to approve JEO to update GIS system and sign inventory software. Mr. Heaton.
Thank you, Mayor. Before you on this item is, as Mayor mentioned, an upgrade to our GIS software. So if anybody follows computer coding, the JavaScript 3 that we're currently using to run all of our GIS software is like everything going obsolete this year or over the next year and moving to JavaScript 4, is my understanding. So that requires us to update all of our GIS software accordingly so that we can continue to use it. If anybody on the council has been around City Hall when we're working, we're using GIS in some form in the office all the time. So it's very important for us to have it. We also have a public-facing side that anybody can get on. We have a lot of developers that will use that when they're planning different developments, or we have contractors that use it, helping us figure out the best routes for water lines and things like that. So the fee for all those software upgrades is $13,464. And another key point of that is, over this last year, we purchased a GIS antenna, basically that it Bluetooths to the guy's iPad, and then we can locate things within centimeter accuracy around town to put those in the maps exactly where they need to be. So that'll all kind of be bundled into that dollar amount. And then the second part of that is to migrate all of our sign inventory and inspection software into our ArcGIS software that everybody uses. The current sign program is called Simple Signs. It's run through a G-Works-based product. So it doesn't kind of sync up with the software we're using for everything else. So currently we're paying a third party then every year to import that information into our ArcGIS. That Simple Sign software is kind of old and clunky and out of date. And so what we're looking at going with JEO is using a sign program through ArcGIS that essentially will cut out that middleman, and our guys, when they do a sign inspection, do an inventory, do an installation, they'll input that directly right into our GIS. It's all one-stop shop and it's all done, ready to go. So the fee for that is just over $8,600, so total $23,370. Question? Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments from the public? Having none, Transportation Committee.
I'll take it. Yeah, I mean, we met on this. Obviously, I think we're all pretty much aware that software needs to be updated from time to time. So this is just kind of a price of doing business, really. The GIS feature's pretty robust on the website. So I'd like to keep it that way. So I'll introduce resolution 2025-30.
Resolution number 2025-30 was introduced by Councilmember Letcher to approve JEO to update GIS system and sign inventory software.
Recommend a motion to approve resolution 2025-30.
Second.
We have a motion, a second, to adopt resolution number 2025-30. Please register your votes.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor, for having a good night tonight. So now it's my time to slow it down.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. Yeah, no. We got several important things to bring to your attention. Number one, I don't know if you knew this or not, but this week is Nebraska Severe Weather Awareness Week. And it's great timing for us because we have been making some good progress on our emergency alert system and trying to do as you instructed us to do, to get a system in place that our residents and citizens could connect to and be automatically have information pushed out to them when there's any kind of emergency situation that's going on. Jake Dunn has been doing a fantastic job putting all this together. So Jake, again, is our public safety and communications manager. Jake, why don't you come on up and join me? And I'm going to have him kind of describe a little bit about what's available to you. Aaron's going to bring it up on the screens. So we do have some information that's currently live on our website right now, where all of you are encouraged to go register for this system. It will automatically notify you on your phone, send you emails, come knock on your door. No, it won't do that. But it'll do almost everything up to that to kind of notify you of emergencies that might be taking place. Jake, go over the details.
All right, I'll try to make it as quick as possible. So this is on our website now, the under departments, that goes down to under administration. Right there, emergency alert notifications. We'll push it live out to the public tomorrow. I mean, you can go now and sign up as well, but we'll do a social media campaign to raise awareness to this. Has all the information that there's two main systems. You can sign up here on this first link. They also have, go ahead and click it here and I'll go to that. Sign up. It says partnered with Washington County Sheriff's Office, so it will say Washington County at the top. You scroll down and you click on the green sign up button there. And you just fill all this information out, your first name, email, cell phone you want on there. Farther down, it gets your address, because the nice part with this system is it can pinpoint down to feet. So if there's a water main breakup on 26 and College Drive, we can send an alert out to everybody in that area so the whole city doesn't need to know about it if you live on the southwest side of it. As you scroll down on this page, since it is with Washington County, they have, keep going, Aaron. Right here, the notification group. So when someone signs up, if they don't put their address in because they just don't want to, they can select the Blair group. This will go off the Blair city limits. If someone wants to select one of the other towns in the Washington County, you can. You can select the weather alerts as well. All the weather alerts and weather voice calls will be managed by NOAA, so we do not have to man it 24/7. So National Oceanic Atmospheric.
I knew I was
going to be somewhere around there, but they. There you go, administration. So they push it out for us. It's automatic. And then at the bottom, you just sign up and it goes through. So it's pretty easy to sign up. This is going to be the one we're going to really push to everybody because this hones in. One, you're selecting Blair as your group, but you're putting your address in. The other part, if you want to go back to our page, Aaron, is they do have an app. You can scroll down. So all the instructions on how to sign up is here. Farther down is an app that they have. It's in Android and Apple Marketplace. This is solely off of geolocation. You don't sign up, you don't put your address in. So if you have this and you are visiting in-laws out in western Nebraska and something happens here, you will not get that notification because it's based off where you were at that time. So we can't stress enough as we push this out to have everybody sign up, put your address in, or just join the Blair group. So that way if something does happen here at home and you're in Arizona or whatever, you'll still get the notification that needs to be. This is going to be system pushes out right away. Again, Washington County, the 911 center uses it. There's plenty of internal and external uses as well that we can use for city employees as well. We can have internal groups to send out for coverage and so forth. But any questions?
Do you have a sample of what the alert's gonna be?
So we have general templates we can make, but we can freehand it as well. It's just like a standard email we can type and say, you know, whatever it may be, but we'll have our general press release templates in there.
And will it be solely for emergency alerts, or will it be random? I don't want to say random other things. That sounds horrible, yeah. But
so it has the emergency alert notification system. There's emergency and non-emergency.
Okay.
The emergency alert will be like using the winter storm last week. If the coverage right now is stressed because everybody's, the power's out and everybody's using it. This gets priority over everything else. So if you're trying to make a call to someone, this is going to take preference over it. So that way you get it. There is a non-emergency, so we can use this for road closures when we're working on having the roads out there, so we can push it out to residents so that way it doesn't interrupt their day, but they still get notified of it. If someone does not sign up, the other thing it has access to the white and yellow pages. So if we circle part of town, it'll pull all the white and yellow pages if anybody still puts their information in there, and pull them that way as well. So right now there's 12 people signed up, just because of it's been around for a little bit, Washington County. But we hope to raise those numbers up. Again, we can pull from like the white and yellow pages, which when I looked today, like 868 people it can pull, so.
This is great, Jake. Thank you very much.
Have you changed how the website looks yet?
I have not. I didn't want to reinvent the wheel with it. I mean, all it says Washington County, it still has.
No, I meant our homepage.
Yep. So this is what it'll look like. I'll put it on our homepage as well. But this is live off of our website right now. So if you went to our website, you can find it by just going under departments, administration, and look for emergency alert notifications. I can put something on the homepage as well to help make it a little bit easier to find. It's also in the how do I as well. So.
Councilman Eichel, are you talking about the website refresh?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, it'll be part of that.
Yeah, yeah, but we've not
you haven't done that out yet.
No.
Gotcha.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Jake.
Right, thank you, Jake. Yeah, so one of the things that we will continue to do is continue to work on some policies that kind of give some guidance and direction on what kind of things that we will send notices out for. If you've been following the City of Blair on any of the social media channels that Jake is overseeing, he does a good job on a daily basis of kind of pinging people, telling them a little bit about what's going on. We will not be using this alert system for all those kinds of things. This will be reserved for really true alerts, but it may be certain things like public works, a water main break that's in your part of town, or a street repair that would be closing down a certain segment of street.
Snow emergency?
Snow emergencies, yes, we would do that through this app as well. And again, as Jake stressed, by simply having it on your phone, it will track you as you travel. So if you're someplace else, he's exactly right. If there's an emergency back here, you may not be notified of that unless, of course, you've gone in and registered with your house and then it picks you up that way. But it may not automatically notify you here of a disaster, but if you're someplace else in the country and they have a disaster there, either through the National Weather Service or if that local jurisdiction happens to use the same system, you might actually get a notification from them of something that's going on. So it's a very handy app to have on your phone. Red Cross, National Weather Service has other apps as well. So I really encourage you to participate in that. But as Jake said, we'll continue to roll this out. We'll be doing some social media posting and really encourage people, and we'll be reporting back to all of you on how things are going. All right, one other thing that I wanted to mention is you are aware that our fiscal year 25 budget included some funds for us to be able to pursue CALEA certification for the Blair Police Department. And again, CALEA is the national association that certifies police departments. It's kind of the leading one in that area. It's a high prestige thing. There's only a handful of municipalities in Nebraska that have attained CALEA certification. One of the things that goes along with certification is that you're required to have a CALEA manager on staff who kind of helps coordinate that whole project. And I have asked retiring Chief Logger to be our CALEA manager for our project going forward. So Joe, why don't you come on up if you would? And we'll talk a little bit about CALEA. He recently had to go through some training to be a CALEA manager, and I'm pleased to let you know that he passed with an A score of 92.5%. So, congrats. One of the things Joe also did was he applied through CALEA because, again, this is not necessarily an inexpensive thing to be able to do. It's a long, arduous process for a department to really demonstrate. And it's one of the great things that I really like about CALEA is they don't just simply say, well, do you have documents that say what you're supposed to be doing? They come check to make sure that's really what you are doing. That they will send representatives into the field and do kind of an exhaustive evaluation to make sure that's really the way that our department is functioning. So it takes quite a while to put this together, and it's not necessarily inexpensive. They do have a program, though, for smaller jurisdictions that you can apply for what they call the initial accreditation fee waiver, And Joe did apply for that on behalf of the city of Blair. And I'm pleased to let you know that just this morning, we were notified by CLIA that we were granted that award, which basically cuts the initial fee in half. And so really appreciate that. I'm going to turn this over to Chief Logger to talk a little bit, if he wants, about CLIA, but also just to remind all of you that this is his last council meeting as our chief of police. He officially is going to be done on April 11th. There's another meeting. He's going to be out of town because he's got some training that he's heading off for. He's also graduated from the police academy, the FBI police academy years ago, and they have reunions every once in a while and training opportunities to get together. So he's going to be attending one of those, I believe. But publicly, I just obviously want to stress how much I appreciate Joe and the great leadership that he's done for our department, his faithful service to the city. Appreciate all that you've done.
I will be here on the 8th because I wanted to be here for when you hire a new chief and hire a new officer, so we'll be around. But I am leaving on the 9th for Des Moines for that training. I wasn't prepared to talk about CLIA. I didn't know we were going to bring that up. But however, as Phil said, this is a chance for Blair to be put on the map as far as notoriety, how professional they're going to be. It's a lot more than just writing policies. As he said, they'll come in and check. A lot of that is done online. But what they have is what they call proofs. So if you have a policy that at the end of the year, you have to go over all of the pursuits that you have. So that policy is in place, and that's a requirement that you do that. But how do you prove that you actually did that? So what you have to submit to them is a form at the end of the year or whenever, how you did that. And so whatever form you come up with, you need to submit that to show that, yes, the captain did this, the chief did this, the sergeant did this, there's a signature on there with the date, and then that has to be sent in. So it's much, much more detailed than what we've ever done before. We have a great policy manual now, but this is going to take it to another level. So that's good. The next thing, I didn't know we were going to transition, so give me a moment. To the fun part. Now I'm at the bottom of my replacing Joe file. It's a good thing. Time marches on. So, after careful consideration and many discussions with my family, I've decided to formally give my resignation / retirement notice to you tonight. My last day of chief will be April 25th. I have a good run, 40 years and 9 months. This is not a tearful or joyous goodbye. This is just goodbye. Well, sort of, because now if the CLIA comes in, I'm still going to stick around. If you had the opportunity to read the annual review that I handed out, there's a letter from me in there that's a little bit more, has a reflective note, a little bit more humor. But I have been given much by the Blair Police Department, City of Blair, and especially the citizens of Blair. I have also given much of my time, talents, and treasure to the Blair Police Department, City of Blair, and yes, most importantly, the citizens of Blair. In closing, I ask one thing of you as a council and city staff and public that is present. Please continue to support your Blair Police Department, regardless of who the next chief is, because the Blair Police Department has never been about one person or position, whether it be chief, sergeant, or detective. The Blair Police Department is about vigilantly protecting citizens of Blair, serving with integrity, keeping service as a top priority, striving for excellence, and treating every citizen of Blair with respect. Always remember, united we stand, divided we fall. So I got to sign this and give this to Bill there. Thank you.
Mm.
item number 10. I'm looking at you.
I move that we adjourn the meeting.
Second.
We have a motion. It's all right. You can do it. If you have a motion, a second to adjourn, please register your vote.
Okay, so nobody wants to question it.
Nope.
Meeting adjourned.